Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti, Sunday nights of the Noonan Show, here on 720 WGN. There's a new email for callers and listeners of the program that Karen would love to hear from you at. It's WGN at AskKarenConti.com. Again, WGN at AskKarenConti.com. As Karen joins us now, and good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. I'm doing well.
All right, good. Everything fine at Conti Law?
Everything is great. Busy, busy, busy.
312-332-7800 and over there. All right, so the problem of sexual harassment in the workplace has been blowed up real good here to the point where everybody's talking about it. You have women who as a group are going, mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And it's about time. How to fix it is another problem. We'll get to that general discussion in a second, but I'm sure you've dealt with this, right?
I have in so many ways. I've dealt with it as an attorney, a young attorney mostly, and I've dealt with it from a litigation standpoint, and I've done it from both defense standpoint and plaintiff standpoint. So I've seen the devastation it does in the workplace, the devastation it does to people, and it just continues, and it's still baffling to me that people are continuing to do it. But, you know, Steve, the psychology of it really needs to be understood because it really has nothing to do about dating and sex and all of that. It's not about romance. This is about dominance and control, and people who do it largely are feeling insecure in the workplace and resent women in the workplace and are trying to make them feel bad. So if we approach it from that standpoint and understand that, I think we'll all have a better grasp on how to stop it.
Here's the thing that is troubling for so many people is whose responsibility is it? Because the great thing about the Me Too hashtag and the push from Me Too is it's very therapeutic to allow women to finally collectively get together and talk about it. And anybody who wants to judge women about why they haven't talked about it before, well, walk a mile in their shoes, and I think you'll understand. We as men certainly need to do more. We need to self-police. But what do the workplaces need to do, and what's the legal responsibility of the workplaces that they're, you know, maybe not doing now?
Well, obviously, you're posting all the avenues that people have to report it. You know, you always see that in the lunch place. If you are sexually harassed, this is what sexual harassment is. This is how you report it. This is what is going to happen. And that's very important. But I just think we need to just be a little more specific because many of the people who are guilty of harassment, really, if you ask them, are you harassing someone? They deny it because they don't understand it. And there's little things, Steve, like staring. I mean, I think women out there can, you know, I'd say men too. Men get harassed as well. But what we have is we have people who are staring at us. You know, why are you staring so much? And that's one of the biggest concerns that women have in the workplace. He's looking at me. Jokes, you know, just jokes about women. Interrupting women in the workplace. Too many compliments, you know, 5 compliments a day from somebody. That's not trying to get somebody into a date. That's intimidation. And so those are the types of things that need to be identified. And maybe we need a few seminars to explain to people what that really means.
So these seminars, which I know a lot of places responsibly hold, do they absolve workplaces of responsibility legally going forward?
No, I don't think it necessarily absolves the workplace. I think it prevents lawsuits. I think those things are very good for corporations to make that, you know, make people aware. And then also make women feel comfortable in coming forward. I think those things are really good. But no, a workplace, once there is a complaint, they have to investigate it. And that's their obligation. They must do it. They usually put everybody on a paid leave, and they ask people, and they ask if anyone else is harassed. A full investigation, sometimes even bringing in a third party to conduct that investigation. And then if there's a finding that there has been some sort of sexual harassment, then there's a remedy. There's either the person is fired or he's given a warning or there's some other remedy. So that's the workplace's responsibility, and they generally do their job.
The HR departments that ought to be the safe haven that anybody can go to in any larger company, all self-governed, or is there some standard they have to apply to?
There's a protocol. I mean, if someone reports sexual harassment, HR people are schooled and trained in how to do these investigations and how to treat everybody. So, and again, this happens in smaller companies too that don't have HR departments. You know, you see this in restaurants where it's family owned and there's no HR. So you're making your report to maybe the owner of the restaurant, who maybe has been conducting himself in a certain way for years without really realizing that it's offensive. So again, it's nice to talk about HR, but a lot of people have jobs in these smaller venues where you don't have those avenues.
But is HR largely, even in bigger companies, it's not the right words for it, but for lack of a better way to put it, the honor system that the HR person will do what they were trained to do and respect the privacy of your complaint? Because, you know, I do hear from people that go, well, if I go to HR, I'm just going to get dragged into a meeting and I have to face my accuser and I'm uncomfortable with it. And then people stay silent.
Well, the human resources will have to investigate it, and there's really no way to keep it confidential who made the complaint, because HR has to go to the alleged offender and say, did you harass Jane Doe? You know, did you say this to Jane Doe? Did you take her out to lunch and ask her out on a date? So clearly the guy's going to know, and that's really... There's no other way to do it to get to
right, right. But I'm talking about, I've heard people say, I don't want to be in a room with somebody. You know, the confrontational piece right from the get-go. Like, I'm going to put you in a room and me in a room, and you're going to sit there, and then I'm going to say, I never did this to you, and shout you down. Or, you know, the Bill O'Reilly move, I'm louder than you and I have more attorneys.
Yeah, no, that generally does not happen. It's not supposed to happen. It's not supposed to be a confrontational process. It's supposed to be an investigative process. And that's the last thing you would ever do, is to put that person in the same room. I mean, do people mess it up and do it incorrectly? Probably. But that's just not that's not the protocol.
So I suppose if you go to your HR person with a specific complaint, you could make that request. Say, listen, I understand you have to tell the person I'm bringing this complaint, but I'm not going to go and sit in a room with them.
Sure, you can say that. And you should also ask what the procedure is. I'd like to know what you're going to do and how you're going to investigate this. And you might have some pointers to say, yes, I think there are three other women that were also harassed, and you might want to talk to them as well. You know, and women need to just keep track of what's going on. I mean, I'm not saying be a, you know, it's a full-time job. But, you know, if someone keeps emailing you or looking at you or staring at you or saying things to you, document it. Just put it in a place where you have some evidence that you're doing it on a contemporaneous basis. So it has some veracity. It has some, you know, pull when time comes. So, you know, you hate to have to put that burden on people, but that's what you have to do in order to get some remedy in the workplace.
Well, then we come back after the break here. I want to talk about that responsibility on both sides and in definitions on both sides. Sexual harassment it shouldn't be in the eye of the beholder, because all of us know that your job and your condition of employment can't be revolving around whether or not you have sex with the person. But when does flirting become sexual harassment? And what do we need to tell men about how they behave? Is a wink a problem? That type of thing. And this isn't, you know, we're looking for answers here. This is an effort to try to get to some answers in the short term. So we'll talk more with Karen Conti. Back to Karen Conti again. There's an email. You could reach Karen at WGN at AskKarenConti.com. That's WGN at AskKarenConti.com. And she'll specifically know it's from us. And she'll get right on it. And she'll tell all of her clients, you're going to have to wait. That's how it works, isn't it, Karen?
That's exactly how it works.
Yeah. All right. So, listen, it's completely unfair to put this all on women. But consequently, or conversely, I should say, it's unfair to put this all on men as well. So if we go with basic human behavior here, and also with the notion that if you feel you have been sexually harassed, as we've discussed, in all likelihood you have. So you need to take it to the next level and go to your boss, go to your supervisor, go to your HR department, and move forward and not just let it lie there. But we live in a workplace situation now, especially this week and beyond, where I think men are a little confused. What do they do? So what do you tell men?
Well, I think the first thing I want to say is you should confront the person who's doing this first. And that does put a burden on women, because a lot of women are uncomfortable with saying, excuse me, but I didn't feel comfortable with that. I prefer that you stop that. You know, because that does end it quite a bit.
It should end it, period.
It should end a period, and people who want to intimidate and dominate, when they are confronted, they will back down. So that is really something that you should always do. But clearly, you know, there's this idea that there's this just, what is sexual harassment? If I flirt in the workplace, you know what? I think people who harass, you know what flirting is. You know, we all do that at the workplace. We maybe say something to a person who's a trusted confidant, and then there's no hard feelings. I mean, I've done that my whole life. I've been friendly with men and women in the workplace. But when it crosses the line, we all know when that crosses the line. We all know when that joke is not funny. We all know when that joke is directed personally at me, and you're doing it to push me into a corner. So I don't think it's as gray as we, you know, I hear a lot of women, men go, you know, well, what am I supposed to do? Or do I not compliment? You know what you're doing. It's fine to compliment. It's fine to tell jokes. But when it makes someone feel uncomfortable, and there is a subjective element to it, it's not objective. It's what makes you feel that this is an unwelcome sexual advance. So, yeah, you report it. I think we should all be watching it. I think women should be cognizant of other women. I think that men should be wary. I think the jokes in the workplace, sometimes men will tell jokes, and you know, that's all well and good, and that's the way life is. But you have to watch it, and you have to watch if you're telling those jokes in front of women, that may not be acceptable. So just being aware is my best advice.
And if you truly feel non-confrontational about this, you're certainly entitled to feel that way. But we talked about this yesterday when we had the segment on the air I was discussing earlier, Dave, the power of walking away. You know, a bunch of goofball guys standing around with a female or more than one female there, and you're you know, saying inappropriate things that maybe aren't sexual harassment, but certainly aren't something that would be appealing to the crowd. And the power of women walking away is a bigger deal than people think, because then the guys realize, well, I'm an idiot. At least they should. And in my case, right, many have.
Well, there's a great example. It comes from some case law, but a woman was giving a speech in a boardroom, and she said something like, I'd like to discuss the assets of the company. And some guy chimed in and said, I'd like to discuss your assets. You know, so that is like a quintessential sexual harassment, because what was the purpose of that? It really wasn't funny. It was made to degrade and demean and to interrupt and to kind of belittle what she was about to say. I mean, how do you proceed from there when someone just said that?
Right.
That just took away your power. It took away your authority. And that's clearly sexual harassment. And some men might say, oh, that's just guys being guys. No, it isn't. So I think, you know, that's a good example. And keep that in mind in the workplace, that it's not the sex part of it. It's the power part of it.
You've said a million times on this show, don't immediately assume you're going to sue somebody. It's not the right way to go, and it's incredibly complex. It's incredibly costly, and because you're offended doesn't mean you were legally damaged, even though in some cases it feels like it should be very clear that you were. So is there a trigger point for a lawsuit in situations like this?
I tell people to avoid it, because what you want to do, number one, is to save your job and fix the workplace and make it right. And if that means that the guy's going to stop, if that means he has to be moved to a different place, or you have to be moved to a different place, I don't like that option, but that's save your job first, especially if you like your job. Filing a lawsuit is a long and tedious process. It keeps that discrimination and harassment going for 2 or 3 years while you litigate. It's expensive. It's iffy. And, you know, again, it's not good for your reputation. I have to say that. You have a right to bring a lawsuit, but if people know you have a lawsuit, it does impact people's view of you. So I would say try to fix it, but you do. You can go to the EEOC or the Illinois Department of Human Rights. You can make a claim. It doesn't cost anything. They investigate it, and they will come back, and they will try to help you resolve it. But, again, that's sort of the last resort.
Right, and we live in a world of free will, and if you really feel like you're in an untenable workplace, you know, the time to start looking for another job, I guess, is today. It's not the ideal situation, but you need to protect yourself first.
And it's unfortunate because so many women leave their jobs for that reason. And that's one of the reasons, if you look at the research, that shows that women, you know, don't always rise in the workplace as they should, because they're leaving jobs because men are harassing them. So, you know, it is unfortunate, but to me, you know, mental health, and if it's not going to be fixed in the workplace, you might have to decide to go somewhere else.
And I would just say to men who are listening this morning who engage in this kind of behavior, what you said, you know what you're doing, and you know why you're doing it, and you know you're wrong. And there's never been more heat on this situation than ever before. Knock it off, grow up, be a man, and stop it. Because you will be stopped, especially in this environment, and you should be. And for everybody that manages a workplace or owns a business, I hope you'll take a closer look at this week and going forward, because the time to stop is right now, like never before. Let's get after it and end the problem to the best of our ability.
Yeah, and it's the sister role, Steve. Like treat her like you would treat your sister.
Right.
Would you say that to your sister? If you wouldn't, then don't say it to her.
It's Karen Conti. Again, the new email, WGN@AskKarenConti.com. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Back with the news next, 720 WGN.